Mastermind Agent is proud to present Success Calls. Top real estate agents from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the calls at www.mastermindagent.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Cerrone with Mastermind Agent. This month's top agent is Tammy Spalding with a group in Fort Collins, Colorado. Last year, she closed 85 transactions with a total sales volume of $22 million. Her average sales price was $257,000, of which 35% were buyers and 65% were sellers. She operates a team with three members, one listing manager, one contracts manager, and one team leader. Tammy has been an agent for 26 years and sold 2,000 homes in her career. In this call, Tammy talks about working in the title business and as a top agent assistant before getting her license, how she consistently sells 100 homes per year with a small team, and why she didn't reach her 100-home goal in 2013, how she dealt with a major family challenge, and how her team kept things going while she missed 7 weeks of work. Should you tell your sphere of influence about your family issues? Why systems, checklists, and team members make a real business? How she generates the majority of her business from repeats and referrals from her previous clients, sphere of influence, and realtor referrals? Scripts for calling your sphere of influence. Her annual marketing plan, including a month-by-month description. Why relationships are everything and how to make them blossom. How to make fun part of everything you do. Why she has a top 50 group and how she selects them. Her realtor referral program that results in 28 to 33% of her business each year. The power of daily rituals, a formal schedule, and affirmations. Monthly P&L reviews and how she achieves a 65% profit margin. The book, what's inside it, and more. Welcome to the call, Tammy.
Hi, Mike. Thank you.
Hey, Tammy. It's great to have you here. Tammy, before we talk about what you're doing today, let's go back for a minute and talk about what you did before you got into real estate.
Well, I've always been kind of involved with real estate, Mike. I actually started off as a typist, yes, back in the typewriter days, with Stewart Title, and I worked myself up to a closer, marketing representative, and a branch manager. And then I became an assistant at the group for the other top agents and did their administrative system work.
You've been in the real estate field for a long time.
I've been in the field over 30 years, and I've been selling for 26. I like to tell people I started when I was 6 years old.
Sure. you were a wise child.
Yes.
All right. Well, when you got started in the real estate sales side, did you have a fast start or a slow start?
Well, I had some advantages when I got started because, number one, I had worked with a top agent who's now in California, but I had learned the value of really being committed and doing the right things as far as being in front of people. So honestly, I would say I had a really good start. Plus, I was single. I had three children to take care of. That was a dog, a cat, and a horse. And I was the only breadwinner. So I had to make a living. There wasn't an option, and it was not a luxury just to not. So I really did have a great start, Mike.
You mentioned you've been in the business for a little over 30 years and real estate sales for 26. How many homes did you sell last year?
Well, last year was one of my lower numbers, actually. We sold 85 that we closed on, compared to my normal is around 100 every year.
Do you remember the volume last year?
It was over 21 million.
And you mentioned that you were a little bit off of your normal pace of 100 closings a year. What happened?
Well, Mike, in June of last year, I experienced the biggest challenge of my life. And my husband, of 25 years, my best friend, my mentor, my soulmate, had a horrible horse accident. And it was June 18th that he ended up in Flight for Life helicopter to MCR, where he suffered a traumatic brain injury. And we were there for 30 days. We brought him home with 24/7 care for another 30. I was out of the office, completely out of the office, for 7 weeks straight, which I've never been in my whole career. And without a good team, without great systems, without great checklists, I would never make it through that. So I really look back on 2013 and say, wow, I had a fabulous year for what I went through. I learned so much, not about just real estate, but about life. I learned to really do the A projects, not the B and C. I learned to delegate better than I ever have. I learned how to pack things into a tighter schedule than I'd ever done. I'm still not back on track exactly with the way that I was as far as my hours or what I did, and maybe I won't be because we're still healing a brain, and boy, does it take a long time. But I'll tell you, it really put a change on real estate, and as far as realizing where the priorities are, I was very open with my clients and my sphere, and they have, and still today do, support me. And I'm glad that I did that because there was an option to keep it quiet and just, you know, ignore it and pretend and not let them know what was going on in my world, because I did lose clients because they didn't want to bother me, you know, during that time. But I'm glad I chose to involve them and let them know because it's really been a help to me and to my support. So when you look at real estate and you really sit down and say, okay, after doing it 26 years, you learn very quickly how to change the things you have to change in order to survive and keep things going. Power, you release that really big time when you go through a challenge like this. Control, you release that big time when you go through a change like this. Micromanaging, you release that. There's a lot of things that come to a change that I'd wanted to do for a long time, but never had got around to it. And the dear Lord helped me learn that through Richard's accident.
Is Richard doing better now?
Thank you, Mike. Yes, you know, we're getting there. It's amazing. His biggest thing right now is stamina. He has none. By about 5 o'clock in the evening, he's pretty well done. His memory kind of comes and goes long-term, short-term, depending upon what time of day it is. And a lot of the times I can help him recover to remember what's going on. He's in a lot of therapy from hyperbaric, occupational. He does Pilates. And he's graduated from speech therapy now and some of his physical therapy. He's back to taking care of the horses as far as chores. We cannot let him ride for the rest of probably another year. But he's not, you know, during the day, boy, Mike, his mind, watching this come together is like a puzzle. And we're just a few pieces short, is what I tell people. But praise God, we're going to get there. And I know that, and I feel that. And I've never doubted that, ever have I ever doubted that. So every day to me is a miracle. Every day is a blessing. And it's like raising the child I never had, because a lot of times he's like someone who's under 10 years old. And I've had to really learn that patience word, which, Mike, I never even knew how to spell it, let alone how to do it. So, yes, we're going to get there, but what's really been amazing is learning the patience, learning to be calm, learning to keep quiet, learning to get into that curiosity of asking him what does he mean, has then really flowed over to my real estate in a way I never dreamed that would happen. I'm better with my team. I'm more patient with them. You know, I'm a high DI personality, and when I get with a real S as a client, it would drive me crazy. And I find now that I have more patience, because again, I've learned to spell it, than I ever had. So everything happens for a reason. I truly believe that. And I watch how I have changed in 8 months from going through this with Rich. But to answer your question, yes, he is much better. We're going to get there. It's just interesting how we have to communicate and change things sometimes.
Wow. Well, he's very lucky to have you there. It sounds like you're really driving this. You've been very supportive, and you have a lot of faith and trust that everything's going to turn around and work out, and it seems to be playing out that way as well. That had to be quite an ordeal, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it all works out.
Me too, Mike. We'll keep you posted.
Well, it sounds like you've learned a lot of lessons from this experience, and you've applied them to your business. It had to be really hard for you to let go of the reins, especially with such a small team. There's just the three of you. It's not like you could hand your duties off to another agent on the team. Are the other two people on the team, are they licensed? Could they pick up a lot of those agent activities?
Well, here's the beautiful part. One is licensed, one is not, because I have a contract manager who's licensed and a listing manager who's not. But I work at the Group Real Estate in Fort Collins, and here's the beauty of this company. When this all happened, I had several partners, and that's what we call ourselves because we actually are partners in the company, just come to the team and say, what can I do? They weren't expecting a referral. They weren't expecting payment. And I had two key ones that really jumped to the plate and just took over with buyers, took over with negotiating on contracts that came in on listings, and they just took over. And I had a very, very strong contract manager who then, once it would go under contract, then she just took it, you know, and handled it, which she's done. And a very strong listing manager that when the offer would come in or the listing would come in, she'd just take over and handle everything to do with that, which she was normally used to doing. So the beauty of this company, Mike, was that because I don't per se have true buyer agents like other teams do, I have a company that is like a family. And they just came in and they just said, what can I do? And they just took over.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, the day of his accident, Mike, I mean, I walked out with 19 under contracts in place with 4 listing appointments the next day, and I walked out and didn't come back for 7 weeks. So they just, and then the business just continued. It just was amazing. Amazing.
And the fact that you had put systems in place and people in place to keep that moving, you must have been proud that everything could operate without you being there physically for those 7 weeks.
You know, proud is a wonderful word. Amazed, honored, delighted. And just, I think so much of it too, you know, Mike, is that everything in our office is a system and has a checklist. And that way everything gets handled the same every time. Nothing gets missed because every checklist has to be followed with everything they do. And it's like a little well-oiled machine that just keeps ticking and keeps going along. And even when, you know, the partners came and stepped in, team then could just take it over because everything's laid out on what to do. When the listings were coming up for expiration, there's a checklist on what to do. They just did it. And that, I think, is my saving grace, is that I've always run my business like a business. I've learned that from Larry Kendall many years ago, and I treat it that way. So it's like every day when I walk in, everyone knows what we do. We always have a little team meeting every morning to make sure we're all on track and of all the projects I've given them, where are we at with them, what needs to be done for the next 2 days, not just today, so we can keep looking ahead and making sure it's all planned. So therefore, when that happened and I just stepped away, I mean, even the clients were beautifully cared for because the contract manager actually did call and say, Tammy's not going to be, you know, communicating with you because my job is every Thursday morning from about 9 to 11, I call all the under contracts, and every other Thursday, I call all the listings so that I stay in touch that way while the team keeps everything going while I'm not talking to them. They were all informed that I may be out for a while. I didn't honestly know how long, but that they were here to answer and help, and they had backup partners to go into place if they needed that. So even in talking with the clients, because I did call the ones who closed when I wasn't there, and I asked, how did it go? How were you taken care of? And honestly, Mike, they were all very pleased. And it was amazing to be able to step out of that and just have it run for you.
You have created a true business.
Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing that when you're doing that, that the thing that is in a small team, though, is the rainmaker still needs to be there to keep that rain coming. So even though it ran beautifully with everything going on, after about the 2 months, I had to really regenerate the rain again. But it all ran beautifully when it was all coming in. But with a small team and with my team members, the way they're set up, they're not set up to generate. So that was a great lesson for me, that as I look at what I'm going to do for the next few years and before retirement, which I think I'll be 103 when I actually do retire, but healthy 103, I'll put it that way. But I need to find how the other top agents have really learned how to make the phone still ring when they're not around, because that's the one piece I would say I'm lacking that I need to learn. Because otherwise, as far as I've got the systems, the checklist, and I've got the team all set up to handle everything when the rainmaker is making the rain.
Ah, okay. So that is a quest that you're on right now to figure out how to generate rain if you're not there.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very good. Well, that's something else I'm going to want to follow up on and see what conclusion you come to.
Well, and you know, Mike, I think it's always a good thing to have a quest and a learning, because the minute you think you've got it all down, you don't. and you're not sharp, and you're not on your game if you think you know it all. And I've always been a sponge. I mean, you'll see me at all state conventions. You'll see me traveling to CRS. You'll see me going to any learning opportunity I can get into because I love it. And I want to keep the spring fresh and growing and all the new stuff. And, you know, I love our rookies and all the new people coming into the business because they bring a different, you know, little tweaking of it. And I love that. So I just always want to be learning and growing. But yes, that's my quest right now is to figure that one out.
How many homes have you sold in your career?
Well, over the years, Mike, the homes I've sold were pushing 2,000. And I think that is just fabulous because I don't look at it as homes. I look at it as how many families or individuals that I helped, you know, find the dream of the American dream. And so we're pushing 2,000. I think that's pretty cool.
That is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us, where is Fort Collins, Colorado?
Fort Collins, Colorado is 1 hour north of Denver.
What is the population there?
We've grown to 151,000, which is pretty amazing. And it's just, we have a college, we have CSU here, and we have about 151,000, but it still feels small town. And one of the favorite things I love about showing homes to people who are coming here from other states, they just can't believe how friendly everyone in Fort Collins is. You walk downtown, and you better be ready to smile and say hello, because that's what's going to happen when you're walking in old town. And people wave when they're driving in the cars, and you know, our crime rate is low, and we've got great schools, and it's a fabulous place to live, and it's beautiful. We have all four seasons. It's an awesome place to live, and every time I travel, I'm thrilled to come home and call this home.
Describe your current real estate market.
You know, we're having, I think, similar to what other areas are having, we're having lack of inventory, and it's going to get worse, I think, in 2014. And so, boy, you got to be a good listing agent, which I've always loved doing that anyway. Our average price in Fort Collins has gone up to about $270,000. Now, that's a healthy growth, because when I started selling in 1987, the average price was $88,000. So to me, that's healthy versus East Coast, West Coast that had huge ups and huge downs. So I love the fact that we're pretty healthy. Types of homes, you know, where our average price is $270,000. We are really into that entry, middle ground of homes. Our real luxury homes, we have very few over $1 million. When I hear someone who has an average price of $1 million, I'm going, wow, that's like four or five homes to me. So we have $1 million properties. We have, you know, $600,000 to $900,000 homes. That's not really our huge marketplace, but we are really seeing the $300,000 to $600,000 pickup. Time on the market is just crazy right now. Anything that comes on the market is listed under $350,000 is gone in a day. If it takes 10 days, we're kind of wondering what's the problem. $400,000 to $600,000 is maybe taking 10 days to a month, and over $700,000 is maybe 3 or 4 months. So you know, inventory is really low, which drives your price up and changes the whole dynamics, because if you're in a 6 month or under market, you're definitely a seller's market. If you're 6 months and over on time in the market, you are, you know, a buyer's market. So right now our sellers are winning, especially if they want to sell and not replace it, unless they're going to that upper end. Then that's the best dynamic, because they can sell quick, and if they're going to change and go up in that upper price, then they've got more inventory and more options. With interest rates looking to climb this year, we're really sharing with our buyers that, you know, you need to get on the stick, because the thing is, once those rates go up, your buying power goes down. And then that changes your dynamics all over again. So we have a healthy market. We have a good market. I'm even seeing the acreages selling really good. And that's kind of the ones that kind of draw behind. And, of course, my heart is with acreages. And we put two nice acreages under contract last week that have actually been on the market for a few months. So I'm excited about the market and what it's doing here.
Do you have a niche or a specialization in your market?
You know, everyone thinks that I specialize in the acreages because I do sell quite a few of them, and I love that part. I don't, that's not all I do, though, or I would starve because there's not enough of them that sell. But I love the fact that when I do get a call that they say, you know, we know you specialize in horse properties because you understand what an automatic water is and a round pen and rubber mats and stalls. And I also have, you know, realtors who will call up and say, what do you have coming up with this type of property? So I would say that might be my niche or my specialty. But what I like to say is I really specialize in whatever the client needs at the time. And whether that be, you know, $100,000 one-bedroom condo or that $1 million, you know, acreage with a nice indoor arena, I specialize in what the customer needs and to service them.
How do you generate your leads in business?
You know, I do the Ninja Path, and I really work my previous clients, my sphere. I believe in staying in front of the people. I believe in creating relationships, and I believe in repeat referrals. And I've done that for years, Mike. And you do that by having a heart that cares and not eyes with dollar signs. And it's by always, you know, being the teacher and being the real estate advisor and coming from a space of gratitude and a space of abundance and not scarcity. And so I really stay in touch with my previous clients and sphere. And I have a lot of different ways that I do that. And it's fun. I have a lot of fun things. I'm not normal. And when you get to know me, I do a lot of kooky stuff. And it's just, and clients know that. And it's, you know, how many people at my beautiful age still do those crazy things? And I think that's just a fun part about it. I do a lot to stay in touch with them.
Well, let's dive into that. Let's get into how you're generating your business from your past clients and sphere of influence. First of all, let's talk about the database itself. How many people are in your database?
Well, in my total database, I probably have 4,000, but I don't work that total as far as how I really market that. And I have them all split out. I'm on Real Estate for Act, or Act for Real Estate, as far as what my database is and my software. And how I've got those 4,000 split out is there's probably about 400 that are previous clients. There's about 450 that are somebody who has breathed, referred, talked about selling real estate. I've done a listing appointment, but they haven't listed yet. There's a huge chunk of that then is our realtors, in-state realtors on one list, out-of-state realtors on another list. And I am so blessed to be referred by so many realtors. It's a big chunk of my business. So that's how my database looks, Mike. But it's, you know, it sounds huge to begin with, but it's very broken down. And then I have what I call my top 50 that are my card-carrying fans, and they get even special treatment above and beyond the others because they are the ones that if someone says real estate, they say Tammy. And they absolutely are my lifeblood for referrals, and I take very good care of them.
Did I understand you correctly to say that in your database, about 400 of those folks are past clients? Is that correct?
I like to call them previous, Mike, because past means they're gone.
Very good. So the 400 previous clients, you've closed 2,000. How did the list get weeded down to, or carved down to 400?
Well, because several of them moved out of town or out of state. And so they get a mailer once a year. They're on a different list, okay? So they're part of that 4,000, but they're not in the 400 that live here and still in town. So that would be sellers who've moved to California, Texas, wherever. And they get a mailer every January just in case they might move back. I don't want them to forget me, but they only get one mailer, and I don't really personally call them anymore. So that's how that list has dramatically dropped down. Plus, you know, unfortunately, every once in a while, someone will use another realtor. I can't believe it. It's always amazing to me. But when that happens, I mean, I don't keep pursuing them and talking with them. Obviously, they've come in flow with someone else, and there's no reason to do that. Or I have to tell you, at least off the top of my head, 10 of my previous clients are now realtors. Well, I'm not going to keep marketing them. They're not going to buy from me again. So that, you know, all those things have happened that has reduced those numbers to just around, and it's probably pushing 500.
You mentioned how you remove some people from the database. You mentioned why it's the size it is. You mentioned that you're using a software, Act for Real Estate. That's unique. Tell me, why did you choose that software and how is it working for you?
Well, I chose it because it's simple and I can operate it. It's tweaked a little bit from the original software you'll buy because about 8 years ago, I had a fabulous assistant who was like computer techie, amazing. And she said to me, well, what do you want ACT to do for you? And so I told her. And so she set it all up within its system to generate all the things I want. And the reason I chose it is because it is easy to operate. It's easy to understand. It prints me my daily to-dos. It prints out the birthday cards, the anniversary cards. We track our listings. We track our under contracts. We track everything on it. And so that's why I chose it. It's not internet-based. I didn't want internet-based because I just see how problems you have when your internet goes down and then you're stuck and you're froze. And I never wanted that. So that's why I chose it.
How many people in the list of 4,000, the 4,000 database, are sphere of influence?
Fear of influence are the people who know and love me, maybe haven't actually bought a house, maybe have referred me people. That's probably about 600.
Okay, so let's go into how you're staying in front of and in touch with your previous clients and sphere of influence. What exactly are you doing? So we're looking for, did you make phone calls or mails or emails or, you know, what exactly are you doing to stay in touch with those folks?
Well, I think you have to do an art and a science. So I think the art part is the fun, which I'll share with you, and the science part is what's the meat of the market and what's going on in real estate. And I think you have to blend that because all of your clients are DISC personalities just like I am. So if I constantly was getting graphs and charts from somebody, you know what I would do with that. It would be thrown away. So I think you have to work and blend that and not always send out or do what you like because you're only one little part of that population. So I have something planned for every month, and it's all done in the business planning in November. I always do my retreat to figure out how my year went in November, and I do my advance with my team in December, and we have all of our marketing and everything done before January 1 hits, so we know what's going on. January is always like a Happy New Year letter. That can be a fun postcard with a crazy picture because that's where I'm kind of a little not normal. February is always my favorite. I always send out a postcard to all my sphere and my previous clients that says, thank you for all you've done for me over the years. And in gratitude, I'd love to give you a free rose for Valentine's Day. And I work out with a local florist that they take in that postcard. And at that time, they were given a beautiful rose with greeneries and all this gorgeous, gorgeous arrangement for a much reduced price because I'm very frugal. And it's amazing what that has done over the years. I mean, especially to some of my older clients that maybe have lost their husbands, I've had them call and cry and say, Tammy, I haven't received a rose in years. This was so special. Well, when you touch someone like that, guess what they do when they think real estate? So in March, we play with St. Patty's Day. And once in a while, I'll pull in some emails and I'll do some email blasting. But I don't do it every time because you know what? Once someone checks off that they don't want to hear from you again, then you're done. So if you are relying only on email blasts to go out to everybody, you're going to lose touch with people. But I'll play with a St. Patty's Day outfit, and I've also given away cookies on St. Patty's Day. In April, we will do little labels, return address labels, you know, one sheet of them, and we'll mail them out to them with a spring little flower or something on there and say, thank you so much for springing our year ahead, and hope we have a great year together. I always do a notepad. One notepad a year because everyone loves notepads. And I'll tell you, one year I didn't do them. I had people calling saying, oh, we're out of notepads, which I just thought that was kind of fun. 4th of July, I'm very patriotic. I feel very blessed to live in this country, and I always do something very strong patriotic with pictures of flags and that type of thing, and that's always a postcard mail out. In August and September, we kind of play towards the kids, and we offer drawings that if people will come to the website, we'll do a drawing for a free gift certificate to go to Office Depot for the kids and get school supplies and that type of thing. In October, we always do free pumpkins. And again, I go to one of the landscaping companies that offer a discount for if I have 100 to 500 people show up wanting a pumpkin, that I want to get a special rate on that. And we send that out for them. In November, we always do a Thanksgiving card. I do a Thanksgiving card versus a Christmas card because everyone does Christmas cards and you kind of get lost. So I always do a Thanksgiving card. Now, all of my cards, Mike, from birthday cards, my home anniversary cards, my Thanksgiving card, they're not Hallmark. They're Spalding Mark. And I have more fun with these than probably anything on the planet. And I dress up in costumes because I'll share what I do in October about that too. But I dress up in costumes. I'm always watching for fun cards Hallmark does do, and then we tweak and change them so we can utilize them for ours. And we just have a ball with that. And I still personally sign all of my cards with little notes. So we do November Thanksgiving cards. I don't sign those. I should backtrack on that one. December is always, we mail out a Christmas letter, not a card, but it goes in with a calendar for the next year. Now, there was a huge learning opportunity, Mike. 2 years ago, I did a survey because the calendars I make and design, I love photography, and I do all my own pictures for my calendars every year, and they're always a different theme, and I've done this now for about 15 years, and I've always gone out and had fun with them, and they create them, and then we mail them. Well, they're not cheap. And I thought, you know, in the digital age that we're in, how many people really use a wall calendar? So we did a survey, and I hired a couple high school students, and they came in, and they had their little set of questions, and they went through that whole 1,000 previous clients in the sphere and called them, which number one was awesome that someone had actually called them. They not only asked them, you know, do we have your correct email? Are you still at this address? Hoping they didn't say no. But then we asked them, you know, Tammy every year has sent you a calendar, and she's really looking for your honesty, and her feelings won't be hurt at all. But yes, you love it, you look forward to it, you use it, or no, you just throw it away because you use your iPhone or whatever. Guess how many did not use it and threw it away?
50%.
50%.
Wow.
You know how much money I saved? So I still send a little Christmas letter to those 50%, which is about 500, and I always put on there, P.S., if you would like a calendar, please let me know. I'd be happy to mail you one. And I've never had anyone call or email asking for it. So now at the closings, when we're closing, one of my questions of many is I ask them, and I show them, every year I produce this calendar. Is this something you would love to receive next year or not? And then they tell me yes or no, and then that goes into a separate little list of who gets a calendar. So there's kind of what is mailed or emailed. All of my previous clients on their birthday get a birthday card with little gift certificates in there to local establishments that will give them freebies or money off. And I call and sing happy birthday. Now, I am no Reba McEntire, but they just love it. And that for 7 weeks this year didn't get done with the clients during Richard's accident. But I do. I have my little birthday list here, and I call them up. And whether I get them personally or I get them on their voicemail, I just sing them a little couple lines of happy birthday. And some of the people who have not bought or sold with me for, like, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, they just can't believe it that I'm still doing that. And yet that's my one time I can definitely touch base and talk to them. And then the previous clients, the 400 list, I take that list alphabetically, and every month I take a certain number, I split it up basically into the 12 months, that I have to call and touch base once a year and just say, how are you? How's the family? You go into that forward question situation, what's going on at work? You know, what have you been doing for fun? And I call them and leave a message or talk to them at least once a year, and in the birthdays, twice a year. And that, I think, is huge, because how many people will do that and keep touch with those people?
Are you mailing out once a month, or were there a couple months where they were combined?
Once a month, I'm either mailing or emailing. So I play with that. And I probably only email, though, 3 or 4 times a year. Okay? And honestly, I don't think there's very many that are duplicated in there. Most, because I try to just do once a month. I've heard a lot of people talk about doing 2-3 times a month, and I've just never gotten into that. And I look at myself personally, and I think if my insurance agent or whoever was mailing me something 2 or 3 times a month, it would aggravate me more than, you know, affect me positively. So I just do once a month.
It also sounds like you try to incorporate yourself, your image, into a lot of these mailouts. Is that true?
Well, I do, and in a fun way, not the stuffy business way of the, you know, the mugshot on something. I'm always doing something fun with it. Even when I send out the pumpkin, you know, here's a free pumpkin card, it's me holding 3 or 4, or me peeking behind, you know, pumpkin, you know, setup or something. It's not just a stock pumpkin card. The rose card that goes out, I actually went to the florist where we get the roses and had him put all these dozens of roses around me like I was just this little queen in the middle of these flowers, and took the postcard picture that way. So on the Thanksgiving card, I've done anything from chasing a wild turkey, actually it was in a little zoo area, but chasing the wild turkey, to holding a stuffed one, to having flour all over my face and acting like I was trying to bake something for Thanksgiving because I don't cook. And, you know, doing all those fun things that, no, it's not just a mugshot. Because, let's face it, how much time do you have when they pick it up out of the mail, look at it, and before it goes to the trash? You know, there's a time frame there. And I want to catch 1 or 2 more seconds, and I want to make them laugh. because when they laugh, it brings great things to their body, their soul, and their memory. And they always, I always hear, you know, you just always make me laugh. I love being around you because you're always happy. And that's what I want to hear, because that will create that relationship with your clients that is just, that's what it's all about.
You mentioned you have this top 50 group. I assume that you're doing all these things for the top 50. Are you doing additional things for them?
Yes, I am. So a couple things. I have a lot of season tickets to a lot of different things, to our Lincoln Center for our plays, our musicals. I have hockey tickets. I have rodeo tickets. I have all these different tickets that I purposely buy to give away. And I always love it, and I have a special way of doing it. I usually call, like, if the event is on a Friday night, I'll start making my calls around Wednesday, because I really truly want to get through several before one says yes. I know it sounds crazy, but you've given them the gift of it, even if they can't go. And so I always call around a couple days before the event, and so I have several, like I said, all those items. We then also, we do a special thing for their birthdays that they actually get a little gift. And I mean, it's minimal. It's maybe a little tiny cake that's made at the bakery with their little name on it that's hand-delivered, and not usually by me because I don't have time to do that, but a little cake that's delivered to them. Those top people, I kind of know their hobbies and I know their likes. So if they're into horses, you know, it's something that's easy for me. Something horsey is going to go to them. If they're into golf, I'm going to, you know, treat them to, you know, maybe some new golf balls or something like that. So they're going to get something special on their birthday as far as a little gift. And so little things like that. And then they're going to be invited to luncheons with me. And I like to do luncheons because, again, right now, evening dinners are kind of out of the question because I don't want to be there by myself and Rich can't join me for right now. So I'm doing lunches, and I'll take them to a real nice restaurant, and I'll just invite like four or six of them to come. And then they all kind of get to meet each other, and it's really quick and easy, and yet they're treated special. And I tell them why. You know, I tell them, I'd like to invite you to lunch and have you meet some other of my card-carrying fans, and you guys are so fabulous, I want you to meet each other. And so then we go to lunch together. So little things like that that go a long, long way. One of my fun things that I do, too, I forgot to share with you, that has really become popular throughout a lot of realtors, is in November is the pie giveaway day. I love that day. It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and we invite, this is for the A-list people, the top 50. This is for everyone who's closed a home in the last 2 years. And we have had anywhere from 100 to 200 people come to get pies. And they have to email me and tell me if they want apple or pumpkin. I block the whole day out. I actually, from 9 to 4, I'm here at the office. We bring all these pies into the closing room. They're stacked clear up. And then I'm just there. It's like an open house. But think about that. They all come to my office. I get to see them. They get to see the office again. We get to talk, hug. It's just fabulous. And so that's one of my favorite days, too.
How do people get on your top 50 list?
It's the amount of people they refer. So, you know, I don't care what you do. Some people are going to either feel comfortable or not comfortable referring you. My own family doesn't refer me, so what does that say? And you can teach and train people to refer, but some people are going to feel really good about it and some people are not. I can think of three right now off the top of my head, my top 50 that I probably get a referral from them every other month. And it doesn't mean that I always help those people buy or sell, and that doesn't matter. The thought that they give me a name or have someone call me who says, you know, so-and-so said to call you, it's all what it's all about. And they should be taken care of because they're doing that, not whether I was able to sell a house or not. And so they get on that list because they are card-carrying fans of Tammy Spaulding.
Earlier you mentioned that you make the birthday calls, the call on the birthday. Could you walk us through the script? How does that go? You don't have to do the big sing-along, but how does the script go?
The call. So I call up, and so, you know, pretend that it's your birthday, and you answer the phone.
Sure. Hello.
Hey, is this Mike?
Yeah, this is Mike.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Hey, Mike, it's Tammy Spaulding. What are you doing today?
Wow. Well, I'm having a good birthday.
Oh, I am so glad. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I know it's a special day, and I was thinking about you. I wanted to call and say happy birthday, and I really hope it's great. What are you doing special for this evening?
Oh, I think that me and the kids and the wife are all going to have a nice meal.
Oh, I'm so glad. And speaking of that, would you tell her and the kids I said hello and give them big hugs for me?
We will.
All right, Mike. I know you're busy. It's your big day, but happy birthday.
Thank you so much, Tammy. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. That's it. I mean, we don't talk real estate. We don't talk about who you know wants to buy or sell. It's all about them. It's all about their special day. And everyone feels special on their birthday. I've only had, in all these years, one client who flat told me, don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
And that's one of those clients that you decide that it's okay and, you know, maybe you won't work with them again. But they love it.
I assume a lot of times you get voicemail rather than talking to the person. What do you do then?
I pretty much do what I just did with you. I sing a little bit more. And then I sing to them. I say, I hope you're having a great day. I hope you're doing something special. If I know they have a family and a wife, I'll say their names. I hope you're going out with, you know, whoever tonight for dinner. And they really take good care of you. And just want to know I was thinking about you, Mike. Have a great birthday. And then I hang up.
You know, that's such a great idea. My wife and kids, they love to call up the family members on their birthday and sing them the birthday song. And I assume a lot of people do that. So when you're doing that, you must really create a lot of warm fuzzies for people that you're part of the family.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, with that whole thought in mind, I have that list printed off every Monday. And then I carry it with me because a lot of times I do it in the car. And, you know, if I'm at the car wash waiting on that, you know, I don't do it in the lobby area because people think I'm crazy. But, you know, I will do it as I'll walk outside and I'll call or I'll be on the phone, you know, in the car. And so I've always got it with me. So if you have any downtime, boy, that's when I'm doing my birthday calls.
You mentioned you're also making at least one annual call each year. It doesn't sound like it's event-oriented. It's more that it was just the division of your list. So how does that call go? What's that script sound like?
Well, I utilize the Ford very strongly. Now, on my database, I always am keeping track of every time I've talked to these people. I know what's going on with little Johnny. He graduated last year, or all of a sudden, you know, she was pregnant and da-da-da. So I always know what's going on in their world because of what's happening. So I'll play back on that. And it's something like pretend that little Johnny did go to college. And I'll say, well, how's that going? You know, I just wanted to call and see how little Johnny's doing in college and how's that changed your world with him being gone. And that type of thing. Now, on those calls, depending upon how it flows, depending upon how it works, I may make a statement. You know, if it ever is comfortable and convenient for you and you hear somebody who wants a good realtor, always keep me in mind. But I play it. I don't have a total script that I do every time. And a lot of times they'll ask, how's real estate? The interesting part now, of course, they're asking, how's Richard? And so it's a whole different dynamic, you know, on those calls now. But there again, there's the caring part that comes from having a relationship with these people, not just selling them a house. And so I always do in the Ford, what's going on with the family, what's going on with their occupation, what are they doing for recreation as far as vacations, and, you know, and have they decided to do that rental home yet, you know, type of thing. So it's always kind of a play on them particularly and never a script because I know what's going on with them. And if I don't, it's in the database to remember from last time I called them.
How did you notify everyone of Richard's condition? Did the information just stream out there or did you make a formal statement or announcement?
Well, it started out with Facebook and Caring Bridge. And I will tell everyone on this call right now, be very cautious with that. Because 1 week after the accident and when Richard was still in ICU, someone tried to break into our home. And thank goodness we had a great security system that it didn't play out. And the police officers flat told me, get off. And they even told me what kind of a script to put on there to make sure people knew we were totally protected. So I had to go off Caring Bridge, which was horrible because that was a great way to stay in touch with a lot of people. But once it hit Facebook, here's the beauty, though, of that. All my friends and close family and relatives and real estate partners, even within Colorado and all over the United States, it just spread like wildfire. And I mean, everyone learned, and the clients heard from that. I was amazed how strong it got out there, how quickly it got out there. And then what I had to do, though, was when I came back, I had to do what you've heard before, like a letter from the heart, telling them that he was okay and that we had him home and he was going to heal, because that's when the business was starting to, people were going to other realtors because they didn't want to bother me. That's when I made it a public notice to my sphere and my previous clients, even with a picture of him and I together, even though he looked still a little spacey in the eyes, but just to show them that he was alive and he was okay, because I really had to publicly put that out there to him to calm them. And then I did it like two or three of those just throughout those months last year, just to let them know, hey, we're doing all right. And never, you know, really talking business at that point. I think the last one I did say, I'm back at the office. I'm ready to help you. We're ready to jump in, to let them know it's okay. You know, that I've got everything under control. We're getting Richard healed, but I'm also back to take care of you. So what I had to really do, Mike, was not publicly let it know that it happened, because that kind of happened without me even doing it, but I had to let all my people know that I was okay, Rich is okay, and we're back to business. And that took a probably good 3 or 4 months to really, I just now feel like the momentum is really kicking in again after everyone knowing that we're all right, we're okay.
That was really wise of you to communicate with your people, with your raving fans, your followers, your database, however you want to think about it, but the people in your sphere, and let them know that everything is getting back to normal and that you can help. I think that was really wise, because things could have deteriorated if you had not done that.
Well, Mike, the way I run my career is that, you know, I don't do internet leads and work off social media in that respect. I really work the relationship part. So when you're doing that and your business comes from that repeat and that referral base, if they think you can't handle it, or truly in my position, they didn't want to bother me or put stress on me when they knew what I was going through with Rich, they are going to go other places. So I had to communicate, or you're right, it would have not been good. And also, because I do have such relationships with my people, they cared. They wanted to know. And I personally could not call and talk to everybody who had been calling. So that's why I chose to do the way I did and just let them know that we're going forward. You know, it's by no means is he totally healed and everything's beautiful and back to normal. That's not the case at all. But in their eyes, it's normal enough that I can be back in the office and I can take care of them. Because it really boils down to, no matter what you're going through in your world, no matter what challenges you're having as a realtor, they care to a point. But it's their world that they want you to take care of. And I understand that. I get that. So you've got to be strong enough to be able to do that and step back into that and know that you can, and that you are mentally, emotionally, and physically capable to go back into that role.
Are there any other events that you do throughout the year to stay in touch with your people, your database? You've said the pie giveaway. Is there anything else?
You know, one of the things I love to do, and it helps two things, is we have a lot of charitable organizations that do a lot of fundraisers throughout the year, and I absolutely love to buy a table and go to these events and then invite those people to join me. And what I always play with, again, because I know those people really well, if I'm going to be at the Humane Society having a table, I'm going to invite people, of course, who love animals. You know, if I'm going to go to something with RESPA, I'm going to pick the people that I know have maybe had challenges that would love to be involved in something like that. And number one, it gets me out in the community. I'm giving to those charities, but I'm also bringing my sphere into it. And sometimes it's really worked beautiful. They've learned about this organization, and they've then chosen to give and go forward with them. And so what a win-win all the way around. So I always look at, I used to just go to show up and have, you know, be seen in the community and just be there at a table. And I thought, why would I not buy a table and bring my own people? I mean, that is just so much more of an open, you know, feeling. And it just is such a win-win. And so that's what I've started doing the last few years. And that's been really rewarding. And then you pick your people who work with that particular organization. And it's just awesome.
So you must have some really great notes in your database about, for instance, who is an animal lover, and those would be the people that you would invite to these functions for the Humane Society.
Well, and you also better have in your list of who enjoys red wines or who enjoys beer, because I learned the hard way that once I invited some couples to a wine tasting and they were recovering alcoholics, that, you know, they chose not to come. And I also delivered cookies one time to a client for his loan commitment date, and he's a diabetic. So that's when I started figuring out, you know, Spalding, you better really understand who your clients are and ask the questions and know their hobbies and know them, not just know, you know, what they're going to buy or sell, but know them. Then you can really relate to them and invite them, and then it's so much more meaningful.
Is there a way that you collect that information? Is there a formal way, or are you just picking little pieces at a time and adding them to the database?
I have a little checklist that when I get to closing, I better have it filled out, or then I have to ask them. And that's kind of embarrassing if you have to ask them at that point. So over the years, I've just, you know, especially with buyers, and I still love working buyers. Now, I work, you know, I'm pretty much 65, 35 listings versus buyers, but I still love buyers because it keeps me in the know in the market. Well, when you're with those buyers and you're driving around, you can ask all the questions in the world. And it's really about asking the questions, becoming quiet, and listening. Because then all of a sudden you learn so much more than the three-bedroom, two-bath, even because you're asking their hobbies, what they love to do, that type of thing. When I'm with sellers, I'm very conscious when I tour that home the first time, what's in that house. They'll have pictures, they'll have plaques. You will know if you're paying attention. If you're paying attention, if you care, if you're just there to see, do they have granite and do they have tile and what's going on, you're not going to catch what's going on the walls and what's going on in their lives. So I've just learned over the years just to really ask the questions, listen, pay attention, and then if I don't have them all answered by closing, then I kind of just quiz them and say, you know, I need to know this because fun things will happen for you in the future if I know these things. And then I ask them.
You mentioned earlier that you receive a lot of business by referral from other agents and other realtors. Tell us how you're making that happen. What's your program there?
Well, first of all, I'm very strong in going to all those conferences. And when I go to the conferences, I don't hang out with all the people I know. I meet new people. And I always ask them for their information. And then they come back and go right into my database. And I have a program that six times a year, so every other month, they get an email or they get a mailer from me, and those are similar to what I'm doing with the clients. It's funny. It's kind of hilarious. It's kind of like catch your eye and say, oh, my gosh, she's so crazy or she's so funny or whatever. And then sometimes there's the science part with what's going on in the market. But I stay in touch with those people. And I'll tell you, that has been the most beautiful thing, as all of us do. I've got numerous thousands of friends on Facebook. But through this whole thing with real estate, my realtor family all over the United States have been fabulous. And when I post something, the comments coming back, because I post about Richard all the time now on Facebook, and my realtor family has just supported and loved on me like crazy. I have been given poems, books, plaques, flowers, scripture readings, that it's just been priceless as far as what has happened with the realtor family. So when you create, again, relationships like that with realtors all over the United States, who are they going to call when they have a Northern Colorado referral? They're going to call Tammy. And I seriously average anywhere from 28 to 33% of my business every year is realtor referrals. And I always tell people, you know, if you've got a Colorado referral, even if it's, if you don't know where it goes, call me. I know so many realtors in Colorado. If it's not my area, I'll direct you where to go. And so I just want them to know that Colorado, you call Tammy. You talk to Tammy, which is the website. And, you know, that has just been so great. But I didn't know how great it was, Mike, until these last 8 months. And now I really feel the love from the relationships I built with that.
I think it's really significant, and it defines your relationship by the way you refer to the group. You don't call it a group of agents. You call it the realtor family. Has that always been your feeling towards the group, or did that occur just recently after the incidents of the last year?
Do you mean the group as my company?
Realtor family, it sounded to me like you were talking about all these agents around the nation that you've been staying in touch with, and as a group, you don't talk about them as all the agents around the nation. You say they're your realtor family.
You bet. You know, it's changed dramatically in the last 8 months. I've always considered the realtors around the United States and Canada. I've got some great buddies up in Canada to have been my friends and not just a realtor acquaintance. We've developed strong relationships through different organizations that I've belonged to over the years. And anytime you see them at conferences, you can hardly wait to catch up and talk and communicate. But honestly, I call them totally my family, especially after the last 8 months. It's just amazing to watch and to feel people's love and compassion when you're in a challenging situation. And they are my family. They are totally my whole family out there that are just supporting and loving and hugging on me in a way that I never dreamed would ever happen. And when you go through something like this, you need a lot of support. And to know that all those people out there really care. They're not just there to learn, what did I do new for my buyers this week? Or, you know, what's my new pre-listing package look like? Or what am I doing different in my buyer consultation? They're there because they have developed a relationship with me. And honestly, it's been so inspiring for me to get the feedback from them in a whole different way than just a business relationship. And when you're communicating with people like that all over the United States, again, just guess what's going to happen when they are looking to take care of one of their clients in a state that you do business in. But no, they're my family. I don't consider any realtor anywhere competition for me. I don't go there, even in my own town. And I would share what I do with my biggest competitor if they came and asked me, because I believe totally in abundance and not in scarcity. And, you know, you can share 100 million things and someone may take one idea and do it. So I am always into an open heart, an open mind, and anyone can pick my brain at any time. And I think when you come from that and then go through an experience like I've gone through, they're there to give and they're there to support. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm just really impressed with the way that you're viewing the folks that are out there in this sphere of yours. Again, you don't call them past clients. You don't call them referring agents. You're using terms such as relationship, friends, and family.
Absolutely.
So it's really a mind shift. Or is that just your personality? You just love to take everybody in.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that it's how did I want to work my business when I started? And that was, it was kind of thought out that way too, in the sense that I really don't want to be knocking on doors or making cold calls when I got to the level of business that I'm doing and the amount of years I'm doing. I wanted people to want to work with me, to want to call me, to want to be in my presence. And I feel that with my previous clients, and I feel that with my realtor family. You know, if they know that they're going to get taken care of, being given the red carpet treatment, and have fun with their best interest at heart, why would they not want to call me? So, you know, I just also believe that what you give, you receive. And so if I'm giving an open, fun, loving, great heart out there, it's going to come back. And I'm going to attract the people I want in my world. And I believe that too. You know, I don't want people who aren't happy, fun, loving, and believe in giving. They don't need to come to my little playground. I want to have fun people in my playground. And so I believe that if you put it out there, you'll get that. And so that's the way I work, Mike.
This is the end of part one. The interview continues on part two.